We have last week finished up Revelation 19, and just to surmise it quickly, the beast and the false prophet, that's the beast of Rome and the Antichrist that wrought miracles before us and deceived the world, were bound and cast alive into the lake of fire. This was another symbol of deliverance in the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. When we read these things in the book, we see Him as the Lamb of God, we see Him as the Word of God, we see Him as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Each symbol we are seeing gives us another representation of the many, I hate to use the word faces, but because of my human frailty, I have no better word, but the different faces of Christ in the sense of the work that He did. He's the Son of God, eternal, we know that. He's the living Word of God by which the worlds were framed. He's made flesh for us. That's the Son of God, also the Son of David. He's the Lamb of God because He laid down His life as a sacrifice to God for His people. Just an example. And here, we're going to see Him once again. The remnant, the beast and false prophet were cast alive into the lake of fire, showing us eternal deliverance. And the remnant of those that deceive God's people. That's what this book is about. It's a revelation of Jesus Christ. The Jews had so corrupted the law service and what God had given them. And I'm not being anti-Semitic, because the Jew is nothing but the picture of a natural man with the same by our nature. Unable to know God, unable to please God, being shown the law of God not being mixed with faith and them that heard it. Justified themselves by the law when they should have been seeing their failure and inability and their rebellion not keeping the law. And that would show grace when the time came. But we begin chapter 20, and we find where John is seeing, and I saw an angel come down from heaven. This angel is the angel of the Lord. I'm going to give you one quick text to prove that. I'm going to Exodus 32 and verse 34. If you keep up with it or write it down, we find when the children of God had been delivered from Egypt. Now you just picture this and you consider the nature of the flesh and where we stand by nature and how capable we are of saving ourselves. God had just delivered them by miraculous plagues from the enemy who held them bondage. God had brought them to a place and a point that they could not escape to show His power. God parted the Red Sea. The children of Israel crossed over dry shod. And Pharaoh's army was drowned when God caused the waters to come in upon them. Now, brethren, even there is deliverance in Christ. Every work of God is in Christ. Everything that benefits His people is in Christ. Christ was the rock that followed them. Christ was the pillar of fire. Christ was the cloud in the daytime, the pillar of fire at night. But to make my point, they had seen all of these miracles. They had greatly feared Pharaoh and his army, and they saw the deliverance of God. And here goes the nature of man. The first thing they did when God called Moses up under the mountain to give him the law that he would write with his own hand upon the two tablets of stone, not going into types and shadows here, but in those two tablets of stone, we can see the natural heart and the stony heart and the fleshly heart. God wrote upon that stone His commandments. Now, the children of Israel, this is for this man Moses, we know not what of him. Let us make ourselves God. Is this not as Satan deceived and beguiled? The day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt be as gods, knowing good and evil, making their own gods. Sinful, fallen man cannot see God, cannot know God. That is their nature. So they took their possessions, their jewelry, their gold, their silver, and they gave them unto Aaron. Now this is the priesthood, okay? Understand where many of our problems come from. We've been going through the book of Revelation talking about the spirit of Antichrist whereby men are deceived. Let's look at Aaron. Take these, your jewelry, give it to me. And he cast them into the fire and there came out the two golden calves. Now God forgave them, and I'm not getting into all there, I'll lead it straight too far. We'll do that in another text. God forgave them, but God made a point. And you think about you sitting here as 8 or 10 people in a church house, or 2 or 3 people in a church house. Well, we're doomed. What will we do? We're dying and going away. We won't be here much longer. I beg to differ. There will be a church to God bearing witness to Him as long as this world exists. But God made a point to them because of the faith of Moses. He said in verse 34 of chapter 32, therefore now go, lead the people, Israel, physical, unto the place of which I have spoken unto thee. That would be the land of Canaan. Behold, mine angel, here's a capital A. This is a proper name. This is the Lord Jesus Christ, shall go before thee. You want proof it was Christ? Read Paul's writings. He tells us that rock that followed them was Christ. The pillar of a cloud, I've already mentioned, the pillar of fire was Christ. Shall go before them. Nevertheless, in the day when I will visit their sin upon them. I think Luke 19, we have a fulfilling of that. No, that's Matthew 19. One of the two. I was trying to remember them this morning. No, that is Luke. He tells them, okay, verse 42. Let me back up to 41. This is the fulfilling of God visiting their sin upon them, just so you will know and can see who it's speaking of, Christ being the angel of God. And when he's come near, he beheld the city and wept over it. This is Christ weeping over the city of Jerusalem and his people which were in it, and what was going to follow throughout there being the law fulfilled and them being totally destroyed in the great devastation that he said Christ himself. There's never been a time of trouble since that, and there will be never be a time of trouble after that, which would compare to this. Now that's my words, but that's what he said. And he's saying, if thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this thy day, this was to be the day of Jews. This was to be the day of the visitation. Nevertheless, remember, in the day of visitation, I will visit this sin upon them. Because of their sin and rejecting Christ, the very Son of God, God was going to destroy the people of the law service. Not God's elect, but those who are of Israel and were not of God's elect would be destroyed with the law of service. He said, if thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, it was to be a time of peace when God would dwell with them, but now they're hid from thine eyes. And you want to see what he's talking about? Put this with Matthew 24. For the day shall come upon thee that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee, the Roman army, and compass thee round, and keep thee in on every side, and they shall lay thee even with the ground, totally destroyed. And thy children within thee, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. They had rejected the very Son of God himself. And they paid that debt. I said all that to make the point that the angel is the angel of the Lord. The angel is the Son of God. Here, his portrayal to us symbolizes him as the angel of God, the archangel, the chief angel, Jesus Christ. And I saw an angel come down from heaven. Who came down from heaven? Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, the Son of God, the living Word, which was made flesh to bear our sin debt upon the cross. I saw an angel come down from heaven. Christ came into the world. Time out. Put this together. When Adam sinned, he could no longer stand before God or with God in the garden and see God with his eyes and know God. Period. He was driven in an act of mercy. God drove him from the garden for his purpose. This angel came down from heaven by necessity, or we would have been consumed. He laid aside the glory of the Godhead. We cannot look upon God. We cannot see God. He laid the glory of the Godhead aside. And he bore the flesh of man, the likeness of sinful flesh, yet without sin. To die what we deserve to die, to suffer, bleed, and die because of our rebellion, because of our sin. This angel came down from heaven. This is the Son of God, the Son of Man. And he had a key, having a, the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. I'm going to go ahead and give you this now, because when we started this, if I can go slow and remember all of this without getting too fast, when we started this book, we saw Christ in Revelation 1. And I'll just go to verse 18 to make my point. I am he that liveth and was dead. God cannot die. The Son of Man, God in the flesh, laid his life down and raised it up again. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. He shall never die again. He laid his life down one time for the eternal purpose of God. He saved his people from their sins. As the table in front of us says, it is finished. He finished the work of salvation and eternal life. He will not die again. He cannot die again. That Paul said, or Peter said next, it was not possible that death could hold him. He laid his life down one time. He will not do that again. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. What a blessed knowledge of the resurrection of the Son of God from the dead, because he paid our sin debt when he died, and since he cannot die anymore, he forever maketh intercession for our sins as the Lamb of God, and we live forever in him. And here's my point. Amen. It is so. Speaking of himself, and have the keys of hell and death. What he opens, no man can shut. What he shuts, no man can open. He has power over all creatures created, including Satan and the devils in hell. We say in hell as if Satan rules in hell, as if he's there with a pitchfork and a crown and all of these creatures worshiping him and having just such a good time in hell rebelling against God. But hell is a place of darkness. It's a place of separation from God. It's the place of the dead. It's going to be the place of eternal punishment. And it's not a pretty place. Satan does not reign there. Satan is under punishment, but will be banished there. He said, and I saw an angel come down from heaven having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. We talked about the bottomless pit and the preaching of the Antichrist and the Roman beast, both of them, which came forth. And where it came from, the bottomless pit, from Satan, evil, darkness, separated from God. This angel, Christ, came into this world in this context with a great chain in his hand. Now we can see in Revelation 12, the same very Son of God who delivered us from the power of the beast, who gave us eternal life, and now is come salvation. And the power, the strength of his Christ, we can see that there. This is a different symbol of the work of Christ. He had a great chain in his hand. A chain is used to bind, to hold together. We see the man Legion, who was in chains in the cemetery, in with the dead, those in the ground, and the demons that were within him. He was bound with chains and fetters. Christ delivered him from that, and he was free. There's an example of being bound with chains. Now let's take that same example and see what Christ has done for us. Because the chains were released from Legion. The chain, the seal was going to be taken away from the children of God and placed upon Satan himself. And you've got to understand the purpose. And he laid hold on the dragon. Revelation 12 and 13, 14 talks about the dragon, tells you here who he is, that old serpent, same one in the garden, deceived Eve. This is all about the knowledge of Christ. This is all about the revelation of Jesus Christ. This is all about understanding Jesus Christ, the power of God and of His Christ. We're going to suffer affliction. We're going to suffer death because of sin. Everything the result of being deceived by Satan and of being in rebellion against God. We're going to suffer that as we live in this world. That's why we die. And we suffer sickness and disease and all these things because we're sinners. That's not going to stop until either the body is laid down or Christ changes it and we all go home to Him. But he laid hold on the old serpent, the dragon, that old serpent, and there's a reason. Which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. I'll get back to the former in just a second. He bound him 1,000 years. If we're going to count this literally, that would have been a little over 1,000 years ago. This is a great length of time. This speaks of the time that Satan was bound of Christ. Some say the Lord is going, some very famous people say the Lord is going to come back and he's going to bind the Lord and the Jews and the Gentiles will come together into the kingdom and Christ will come back into this world and reign with them for 1,000-year period of time. That is heresy. The Lord Jesus Christ, it is finished. He laid the glory of the Godhead aside one time and one time only. It was returned to him of the Father when he returned, when he was accepted back into heaven because his work here was what? Finished. He will not lay aside the glory of the Godhead again. If Christ appeared in this world again in his glory, this world would be destroyed. Sin cannot exist before God, okay? Understand that. So let's clarify what the scripture is speaking of. He was bound 1,000 years. Christ laid hold of him. Christ bound him from deceiving you. The mystery hid from the foundation of the world, Ephesians 3, that's now given to you, or as Paul said, by revelation, it was revealed to them, and this is important, and they penned it by inspiration of the Spirit of God in the Bible for us in the kingdom to read and worship, and I'll greatly say this, and rejoice in worship. Christ bound the devil of Satan. He bound him 1,000 years. That's just a long period of time. And cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him. Give you another example. When the Lord was crucified and Joseph took his body and put it in his tomb, they set a great stone there. They sealed it with a stone lest his disciples would come and take him away and said he was resurrected. Nothing, absolutely nothing can stop the power, the wisdom, the love, and the wrath of Jesus Christ. That sealed stone was moved away As a matter of fact, the scripture says the angel of the Lord moved it away. This seal is a seal that cannot be broken. The God who said, "Let there be light," and there was, hath laid this seal, hath placed it upon Satan. What this is teaching us is that Christ came into the world. We were driven from God's presence in Adam. Christ came into the world. We could not see God. We could not know God because we are sin by our very existence. Christ died our death. He made us clean in the eyes of God. He made us holy and without blame, Ephesians 1 and 4, before God the Father in love. Micah 5:2, He presented Himself. He came to God and presented Himself as a living sacrifice to the God of heaven when He bore our sins in His body, when His body became sin for us, nailed to the cross, even though He was without a sin. That cannot be broken. Nothing can stand against that. Don't listen to the false lies in the world and the heresies. Christ is above all things, all the power of God, all the wisdom of God, and all the love of God upon God's people, and all the wrath of God upon Satan. He cast him in the bottomless pit, shut him up, and set a seal upon him. Here's the purpose, that he should deceive the nations no more. Didn't say he was going to keep him from persecuting us. Matter of fact, it says quite different. They which live, it's not verbatim, though they which live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. It is promised that the closer you draw nigh to God, the more Satan tries to afflict you. Got troubles now, you want to make them worse? Join a church. Serve the Lord. Love the Lord. See how much they multiply. Leave that alone for now. He cast him in the bottomless pit, shut him up, set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more. Again, what is the book called? Revelation. What is the revelation of? The finished work of Jesus Christ. Symbol after symbol after symbol. Given to a Jewish man regarding Jewish traditions that he might teach us these things. We see them in history. We see them today, and we see them eternally on the last day. Because it's always deliverance in Christ for the children of God. Yea, amen. All right. And cast him in the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations, the Gentiles, God's elect among the Gentiles from before the foundation of the world. God does not change His mind. God is not altered. God's purpose does not change. He's absolute. What He deemed is and will be. He worketh His way in heaven and earth. It was all purposed of God in eternity. Every child of God, Jew, Gentile, male, female, is elect of God from before the foundation of the world. There is no other way. But He laid a binding on him, a seal, that he would not deceive the nations. You have an understanding of Christ. Until the 1,000 years should be fulfilled, and after that, he must be loosed a little season. Let me promise you this. Satan is loosed, not by the power of Satan, not by the power of man or our fallen nature. Satan is loosed because the Lord loosens him. Well, that don't make good sense. I can't help what makes good sense to the feeble, finite mind of flesh. Everything in creation, everything in the purpose of God, is about glorifying the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who died for us. Period. We're benefits of that, benefactors of that. Whatever word I need, we benefit from that. God loosens him for the same person that God, same reason that God allows the wicked to prosper today. Why do we have an evil man sitting in the White House, an evil woman under him? Why do we have evil in our government? Why do the evil reign? Why do they kill the innocent? Why are the evil in the Middle East killing Christians? Why is Islam allowed to run force in this world, persecuting Christians, killing Christians, killing everything and seeking to destroy everything that is of God? They hate God. Why is it allowed to go on? Because God will be just to all things and in all things when He destroys them, and their works and their actions show forth the true justice of the holy, righteous God, our salvation in Christ, and the destruction of the wicked. Satan's going to be loosed. For a little, I'm thankful for that. A little season. And I'm going to tell you this. I made mention to this somebody yesterday. Maybe it was Steve Milner. We talked a little while. But I remember saying it to somebody. In my lifetime of 62 years, when I was born, things were changing that my forefathers would have said, things have changed, things are not right. You know, a little over 100 years ago, men were still riding horses and buggies. Along comes the automobile, along comes the airplane. Look at today, cell phones, radar. All the technology in the world and all the things, how things have changed. Well, what's that got to do with the last of time? Well, if you read Daniel 12, chapter 4, you see regarding the coming of the end of the days, that knowledge would be increased and men should run to and fro. Well, God has given us knowledge. Instead of acknowledging the God of heaven from whom this knowledge comes from, by the nature of man, we deny God Himself. You know, they're creating life. They're cloning animals. Well, look what we did. You didn't do anything. You took two cells God created and put them together. You're a fool. And I say that biblically. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. But my point is how things have changed in the last 60 or 7 years. I am not at all surprised if Satan is loosed. We'll get into more of that in a little bit maybe. But I just want you to bear in mind he's being loosed for the purpose of God. I want you to bear in mind and know the truth of God that when the time is come that God ordained, they will be destroyed, and every child of God will see the fullness of the knowledge of Christ, for we shall see Him as He is. And there will never be anything better than that in this world. We'll praise Him for all eternity, rejoicing in such a heartfelt love and bliss. We can't imagine it while we live in this body of sin. He'll be loosed a little season. I'm just thankful that it's little, and if he's not loose now, I certainly do not want to be here. And understand this. Again, clarify the point. This is talking about deception. This is talking about truth in Christ. And Satan deceiving and deceiving and deceiving. Let me say it this way. There are so many flavors of religion. There is one faith, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. The nature of man and Antichrist and man desiring to be as God has polluted and corrupted the Word of God so very, very much. We've probably got 25 flavors of Baptist. Flavors here and there. There's only one faith, and that faith is in none other but the Son of God. Had God not preserved it among the 144,000, the remnant of His people, we wouldn't have it at all. Everything is for the glory of God. And we are here to bear witness to Him, the very Son of God Himself. Now, verse 4, I think this was the one in Matthew. My memory gets so bad sometimes. I've read it 6 times, promising myself I'd remember where it's at. This is here, Matthew 19. Let's read the text. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them. I'm just going to very plainly tell you the truth of this. In Matthew 20, I'll begin in verse 27, because that's where the text starts. It's a paragraph marker. Then answered Peter and said unto him, Behold, we have forsaken all, he's speaking to the Lord, and followed thee. What shall we have, therefore? Isn't that the nature of man? What about me? Narcissism. Thank you for mercy, Lord. And Jesus said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me, let's clarify who that is, they are those primarily disciples. Many of the 12 of them or 11 of these would be apostles. They were called of God as every other child of God for the purpose of God because they were chosen from before the world was. Paul said in 1 Corinthians, For you see your calling, brethren. They were all called of God. He's speaking to those he called out for this purpose. At this time, they are sent only unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel, which would be and were gathered together in that day. And then they turned to the Gentiles because the rest of Israel rejected the word of God. Verily I say unto you that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of His glory in heaven above. He didn't have that glory here. He laid it aside. When He returns, Matthew 25, 31, He will be in His glory. And the world shall be dissolved in fervent heat. God, our God is a consuming fire. But when you say, when I ascend into heaven, and I have my glory returned to me and sit at the right hand of the majesty on high, you which have followed me shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Back to Revelation. Let me mark that. Back to chapter 20. And I saw thrones. Who are these thrones? This book is about the knowledge of Jesus Christ, the preaching of the gospel, the purpose of the church, to bear glory to the God of heaven and to His Son, Jesus Christ, whom God hath highly exalted above all things, meaning Christ in the flesh, the Son of Man, the Son of God, flesh. Understand that, just like us. That's very important. But yet God, all man, all God. These people being spoken of are those who the Lord used to lay the foundation, if you please. Ephesians says, Paul said in the Ephesian letter, we're built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Who built it? Christ. He's the builder. He built the house. He's more faithful, Hebrews 3 said, than Moses was in building his house. Christ built the house. This is not a physical house made of stone like the old temple. This is a spiritual house. This is men who are born of the Spirit of God. Men, women, children. I use the term as just man. But I mean every one of God that God quickens and gives life and brings to Him. This church was laid upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, which pertains to the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ, which pertains to the true church of God that bears the true identity which God has preserved in this world of darkness, that we might bear fruit unto Him and bear witness unto Him. They sit upon thrones. When we get to heaven in immortal glory, there's one throne, the Bible teaches me, that Christ is going to sit upon it. When He delivers up the kingdom to God, He will be exalted far above all other things, and He will sit upon the throne. God is a spirit, remember. Christ is in the body, the Son of Man, the Son of God. He will sit upon the throne. That's in heaven. This throne is ruling in the world today. Now, Christ sits upon the throne of David. Luke tells us that. And He'll reign over the house of Jacob forever. That's house of Jacob's here in the world. That's the church. Christ is above. It's all Christ. And He reigns over us in this world. But these men that God used to pen the holy writ of God, the New Testament fulfilling the Old, and the foundation of the proper practice. Oh, that's simple. That's simple. You don't read of praise and worship teams and marching bands and all these drums and all these pianos and all of these things. You see plain, simple worship. We pray in earnest to God from the intercession of the Holy Spirit. We sing psalms of praise to God from our heart, not instruments that man made. And we turn to the Bible, men that God calls, that God enables, men that are unable and unworthy. And God brings them and God causes them and God enables them and God sustains them. That's the New Testament ministry. It's all of the Lord Christ. But the disciples, apostles, whatever words you want to use, they're followers. But these men were called for this purpose. The foundation of the New Testament church was laid in them. It is carried on to us. Spurgeon called us hard shells. The more hard shells, they refuse to change. Thank you, Lord. Please keep us that way. Every night when I pray for the church as a whole. I'm not bragging, I'm telling you what I pray for. The two things important to me is revive us for the glory of Christ and keep us in the true identity of the church that Christ founded here in the world. Keep everything else away from thy bride. These thrones they sit upon is the organization in the New Testament and the doctrine and the scripture by which they rule. Why do you think the Lord told Peter, I give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven? Now Peter didn't decide these things any more than John did. They were decided of Christ and given to them because all scripture is given by inspiration of God. We've got the keys. You're going to lay this foundation and I'm going to cause you to do it and I'm going to lead you to it. And this is how I want my church and this is how it should be. And if we're going to prosper in the purpose that God has given us, it has to be that way. For if we change it, it's corrupted. If we add a word or take a word away, it's polluted. I heard one man say one time from the stand that interpreters got this wrong. God forbid. God moved those men to pen the scripture. How in the world could we think that they got it wrong? If we're doing that, we're saying the Lord got it wrong. Take the Bible and believe it if you love the Lord. And I saw thrones and they sat upon them and judgment was given unto them. There's much could be said in judgment, but I want to bring out a few words the Lord said before moving on with the text. You have omitted the weightier matters of the law. They worried about incense and coming and sweet smell that would come up from the altar of incense. The Lord Himself said, you have omitted the weightier matters of the law. Judgment. There's the judgment of God. What's the very next thing telling us how that judgment should be? Mercy. Mercy. Christ forgave us. We are to forgive one another. A hard heart kills churches. God and is a God of love to His people. We are to love one another. He died for us. If there is any way possible, mercy, forgiveness, and faith. And that faith is faith in Christ, a gift from God above. And I saw thrones and they sat upon them and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God. It's strenuous on a man's body to try to stand and preach this. Pray for me. Thank you, Lord. The Lord told the Jews that upon them would come all the blood of the prophets from righteous Abel, the first one the history records dying, killed by his brother, to Zacharias, whom you slew between the altar and the temple. The so-called religious elite of the world killed all the prophets that God sent to them, because as we find in Amos, they said, don't come up here with that. Go back down to Jerusalem. Go back down to some other city. Go back down to some other town. Go to the king's house. Go to Israel. Don't bring it here. We don't want to hear it. They did the same thing with Christ. He said, I am the Son of God. They hated Him and they rejected Him. That is the natural man. But the point being, all that blood, all that death. This text, he sees those that were beheaded for the Word of God, for Christ. We go to Revelation 6 again. We see the opening of the fifth seal in verse 9. When it opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the Word of God and for the testimony which they held, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, prophesying of the Lord and the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? A little bit different than what you hear in man's religion today, isn't it? Oh Lord, forgive them demons and please save them. Have them to accept you as their personal Savior. It is not given but to God's people to know God. The rest are left in their state of nature, period. These are God's children that have seen their brethren burned to stake, beheaded, and killed at the time the church was young that Christ created before the scripture was penned, especially the days of Nero and those in the 10 emperors of Rome, and the one who would follow that Daniel 7 says was the horn that came up, the religious powers of Rome that persecuted the children of God. This was representing primarily each and every one of them, because that was closer to John's day and that's what he saw. We saw it in Jerusalem with the Jews. We saw it in that day with the New Testament church. And we see, as we've been saying already, proven by Scripture, it will be at the last day, the day of the judgment. We're going to talk about that in this very chapter before we're through with it, Lord willing. I don't want to die for them through with this book. I want to get through it. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given to them, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus. This happens today. This happens today. Middle East, Islam, killing Christians. Babies being killed. Old people being killed. Well, they're old. They're worthless. They're no good to society. Kill them. That happened in New York from the governor, remember? Send them back down there and let them die. They didn't care about them. That's an evil man bearing evil fruit, and God will judge him. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, the Roman beast, neither his image, nor they received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. They lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. What is this speaking of? I wanted to get here before I sat down. This is the first resurrection. John. The first resurrection. He goes on down. He says, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. We'll get to that in a moment. Or next week, whichever. What is the first resurrection? Many learned men, I think one reason for you see your calling, brethren, 1 Corinthians 1, not many mighty, not many noble are called. God took the base men of the earth and revealed this to them, sent them forth to preach. We find the first resurrection right here. The Lord is not going to come back into this world and found His church. It's already done. If He came into the world would be destroyed because it's sin. 2 Peter 3. Speaking of the coming and return of Christ and the destruction of the world and going to heaven, tells us that the world will be destroyed with a fervent heat And that's the glory of God appearing because the earth is sin. But to stay with my point, we go to John chapter 5 and speak about the first resurrection. Jesus, the Jews are condemning him because he makes himself the Son of God, and he is. He always has been. He always will be. Verse 19, he said, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he seeth the Father doeth. That tells us that Christ is doing the eternal work of God and has done the eternal work of God. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise, for the Father loveth the Son and showeth him all things that himself doeth. He will show him greater works than these that you may marvel. Now we get to the meat. For as the Father raised up the dead, we see those raised up in Scripture, Lazarus being one in the New Testament. The Father raised up the dead. At the last day, he'll raise up every single one who's ever been. Even those that died in the womb will come up in a body because they were conceived. For as the Father raises up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. Christ gives life to his children as he pleases, when he pleases, at his time, and that is perfect. A man may live his whole life, or a woman, in misery and rebellion, and like the thief on the cross, nobody knowing it but him, the Lord, he or she may be born of the Spirit of God. But every one of us that belong to God must be changed, because we have to be taken from our nature of sin and brought into the likeness, the image of Christ and the righteousness of God. That's life. That has to be done, or we cannot exist before God. It may be at the point of death. It may be in life. It may be at birth. But that's the Lord's work. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honors not the Son honors not the Father which hath sent him. Here's my point. Verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath, already has, past tense. It's evidence if you love God. It's evidence if you want to receive him, if you want to love him, if you want to make him your personal Savior. I have no problem with that taken in the right context, but that's evidence that you're born in the Spirit of God already having life and shall not come into condemnation of the wrath of God, but he's passed from death into life. Remember that when we get in the next chapter. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming. It is coming. And now is, 2,000 years ago, Christ doing the work of the Father. The hour is coming, and now is, when the dead, not the dead in the graves, that's going to come in a few verses. This is speaking about, and you hath he quickened, Ephesians 2 and 1, while you were dead in trespass and sins, you were dead in sin. Just like the man in the grave is dead and can't get up, you were dead in sin by your nature and could not know God or see God or come to God, and brings us back again to the name of the book, Revelation, the manifestation of the Son of God. The hour is coming, and now is, when the dead, this is the kingdom of God. God gives you life. 1 Corinthians 1, about verse 13. God hath translated you into the kingdom of his dear Son. God gives you life. It's in Christ. That's the first resurrection. The resurrection from sin and death in your spirit and your soul. The body's not changed. It's still sin. But this is a spiritual resurrection within you, where God takes you from total, that means complete, everything, complete depravity, complete rebellion, complete sin, nothing but sin, sin, sin. Made mention of man's narcissism. Everything is me, 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 love me, love me, look at me, look at me. Look what I do, look what I did. It's no different. It's promoted all over the country, all over the world. Look at the football games. I did this, I did that. You ain't done nothing the Lord didn't enable you to do. Give the glory to God. The hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God. That's that word of Christ. As Lazarus heard him call, Lazarus come forth. He calls your name by whatever name he knows you. You hear because he gives you life and you come forth unto him spiritually in this world. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given the Son to have life in himself. Let me make one more point to verify to you this is the first resurrection. And hath given him authority to execute judgment also because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming. Here's the second resurrection. And the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice. All, the quick and the dead. The righteous and the unrighteous. By quick, I mean those alive to God, even though they're dead. God gave them life and shall come forth. They that have done good, why did they do good? Because Christ is within them. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Why did they do evil? Because they're left in the state of Adam. Why do they do good? Because the Lord God, Jesus Christ, is within them. He came down from heaven in this text, in the symbol of this text. He came down from heaven. He laid hold on the dragon, the devil, the serpent, the evil one. He laid hold on him. He put him under chains of darkness. He'll be loose for a little season for the glory of God to be manifested God's righteous judgment in destroying him. Those that are God's, I hate to quit in the middle of a paragraph, but I'm going to have to. John saw the thrones. He saw the rule. He saw the church. He saw the souls of them were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. They lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. That's not a rapture. That's not a coming kingdom. That is the kingdom of God, which is with us today, that Christ said upon this rock, Revelation, what's the name of this book? Revelation. I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The church will be here. The church will be here somewhere when Christ returns. And when he does return, it will not be to found a church. It will be to gather his children